Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now, from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. Headlines on a Wednesday night right here at 5 o'clock on Softie and Dick, brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
Who was on crack?
Seahawks are bringing Luke Wilson back just in time for Techno Thursday tomorrow for New Year's Eve. Ray Armstrong, linebacker, also re-signed to the practice squad. Rams and Cardinals on Sunday. Cardinals win. They're in the playoffs. Rams win. The Cardinals are out. Arizona quarterback Kyler Murray saying he will play Sunday. Murray dealing with a leg injury suffered against the Niners in last week's loss. College basketball scoreboard. Number 25, Buckeyes over Nebraska, 63-28 midway through the second half in that game. Number 23, Virginia, 66, Notre Dame, 57. That is a final. And the number two, Baylor Bears, all over Alcorn State, 105-76. The Cotton Bowl Classic about to kick off in about 10 minutes from now. Florida and Oklahoma. Gators are without their top four defensive players and their top four receivers, by the way. Let me rephrase that. They're without four defensive starters, excuse me, and their top four receivers. There is one game already done today, the Duke's Mayo Bowl. That's a real name. Wisconsin knocked off Wake Forest 42-28. More news in the NFL. Damon Harrison, former Seahawk defensive tackle, who was waived a couple days ago, has been picked up by the Green Bay Packers. Kevin Harlan joining us at 5:20 on the radio show. Rob Rang will be with us. I want to get Rob's thoughts on what the Husky players that are coming back to UW turned down in the way of the NFL draft. Kate Otten, if you missed it, you'll hear him again at 6:45 tonight. He was on with us and said he had heard between third and fourth round kind of chatter from the NFL. Look, man, that guy's a beast. If he would have played 13 games a year ago, his numbers would have projected out to 59 catches, 838 yards, and 10 touchdowns. So Kate Otten, who can already block, we saw that in every game this year, and now he can catch. He's got great hands. He's going to have a chance to really bump up that that grade, I think, in the NFL draft next year. So Kate Otten's coming back. Sean McGrew's coming back. Jackson Kirkland coming back. Zion Tupelo-Fatui, a.k.a. ZTF, are all coming back. We'll get Rob's take on all those guys. Joe Tryon, Levi Onwuzurike as well. Elijah Molden. I think I saw a stat somewhere. Not really a stat, maybe more of a factoid.
Stats are for losers.
I think Fetters had this. The 20 of the 22 guys that started the Stanford game for UW are back next season for Washington. So, look, obviously you got to have talent, right? If I've got 20 guys off of a starting lineup that went, you know, 0-12, who gives a damn? Who cares? But that's a 3-1 football team that was on their way. They were playing well. Obviously, they had some issues with these holes they were getting into. Obviously, they had some issues potentially at times on offense, kind of, you know, breaking in a new quarterback. And there's all kinds of rumors about when Dylan Morris was actually named the starter. I'm hearing it was later in the year than maybe people thought, maybe even the week of the game, the opener. So I think there was some cobwebs there. But overall, I was pretty pleased with what I saw from UW. And I was actually pretty pleased with what I saw from John Donovan. You know, I think John Donovan is that kind of guy where you hire a dude like that and people automatically think the guy's a turd. He's a bum. I'd never heard of him. He's a nobody. He was, you know, putting guys to bed in Jacksonville with the Jaguars. For God's sakes, was at Penn State, did nothing there. So automatically, the guy is playing from behind the eight ball as far as the perceptions. Automatically, the guy shows up and people are ready to jump on his back and start busting his chops the minute he shows up here. So he's already playing from behind, right? Any mistake he makes is obviously compounded by the way the fans think about him in the first place. So I'm curious to get your thoughts at 49451 on the job John Donovan did as the offensive coordinator at Washington. I thought for a first-year guy, for a guy who had the quarterback situation he did, the injuries at wide receiver that he had, I think John Donovan did pretty damn good. So I'm pretty fired up. I'm pretty bullish on UW coming into next year. You know, obviously the one big difference, unless it's Sam Huard starting, is that they will have a quarterback under center in the opener that has started four games in Dylan Morris. So to me, that's gigantic. So we'll talk to Rob Ring about that at 5:45 tonight. Mike Hopkins is going to join us at 6 p.m. and talk about Washington basketball, who they just need some better news for people to start sinking their teeth into. And they really need some news, period, because I think the biggest problem right now with Washington basketball is that a lot of people are becoming apathetic about what's happening over there, and that's not good for anybody. When you have a fan base that doesn't even care enough to be angry about what's happening on campus, that is a huge issue. So UW needs to kind of get off the apathy train a little bit here and either A, start winning some basketball games and start getting some positive vibes going, or they have to start fixing what's wrong over there. If that means making a change to the coaching staff on the bench with the assistants, if that means a different recruiting philosophy, if that means a different offensive philosophy, if that means, and God forbid this would ever happen because Mike Hopkins is married to the zone, a different defensive philosophy, then so be it. But what you can't do is keep spinning your wheels with the current approach and the current situation that you're in right now. We know that. So Mike Hopkins will join us at 6 o'clock. Rob Rang at 5:45. Kevin Harlan coming up next, courtesy of the Emerald Queen, right here on 950 KJ.
From the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio KJL.
Rolls out of the pocket, sideline throw, caught, goal line, touchdown.
We take a look inside the NFL with CBS Sports and Westwood One's Kevin Harlan. Brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino. The beautiful, brand new Emerald Queen Casino, located on I-5 in Tacoma, is now open. Come check it out today. Kevin Harlan. Here's Dave Softy Mahler.
First and 10. Hand off to Johnson. It goes over to Crowder. They got Berrios downfield at the 15. Into the pylon. And it is a touchdown. What a play. 43-yard touchdown pass.
You know, you would think in any normal world that that would be a good day and a good thing for the New York Jets. But I got a cousin, Kevin, who lives in New Jersey, who was fit to be tied with what's happening with this Jets franchise. Kevin Harlan joining us right now, courtesy of the Emerald Queen Casino. How are you, boss? What's going on?
I'm doing great, thanks. Happy New Year. He's probably mad because they've lost out on the Trevor Lawrence thing, and yeah. Jacksonville's going to get him. There's no way they can get in there now, the Jets, and draft him unless they trade up, of course. And, you know, it'll be a huge haul if Jacksonville would trade that number one overall pick. But this is supposedly a generational talent, and there's no doubt he's going to go there, and I think he probably likes it. He can stay in the South. He won't be that far from home, and it looks like the organization is going to completely revamp itself this offseason with the new GM and a new coach and just have a brand new clean slate.
Well, how do you balance this, right? Because on one hand, the Jets winning games for the long term does them no good. No good to win games right now. But you also have a responsibility for the integrity of the league to win as many games as possible. You can't throw games. You can't tank games. But the fans are upset. You know, I'm sure there's players long term that will be upset about missing out on Trevor Lawrence. I mean, how do you balance something like this? Because the Jets winning, it does them no good. None.
Well, I think we probably, and you touched on it, we probably don't give enough credit to them being professionals, being embarrassed. They don't want to go with a winless season. You never know what these kids are going to turn out like. On paper, it looked like Tim Couch or Achilles Smith or all the other quarterbacks over the years drafted so high would be knockouts and Hall of Famers. And it's no better than 50-50. Ryan Leaf. I mean, I can go right on down the line, and you're going to start naming quarterbacks who you thought after an incredible college career would just be dynamite in the NFL, and it doesn't turn out that way. And I think that there are a lot of things at play. Number one, their pride. They don't want to go through a season winless. Number two, they work all week long, and to sit on a game and not play hard makes no sense. Number three, every play, every snap that these guys are on the field serves as part of their resume when they're going into contract negotiations. Will they land with another team if they're let go?
Yeah.
I mean, there are 1,000 different combinations of you know, things that go through these guys' minds that say, listen, I'm not wired to lose. I am wired to do my best. And quite frankly, you know, Cleveland put themselves in a pretty tough situation with the COVID. They lost basically a position group. They lost their four top wide receivers, and they were in. They put themselves in peril, and it's their own fault. I mean, I know that no one can say, you know, hey, I you know, purposely catch COVID, but the protocols are in place, and you know, there's got to be a degree of honesty by these players if they're not feeling well, and making sure that they stay ahead of it if they find out they've been around somebody with it. So, I mean, there's a lot at play here, and I just think that the Jets feel like, you know what, we like our coach, we like our quarterback. The players that is saying this.
Yeah.
We're going to continue to play hard. And like a lot of the guys that are playing for the Jets now are like third and fourth team guys that never see the light of day. Now they're seeing quality snaps against a playoff caliber opponent and a quarterback who's had a very good year. So if they look good playing against them, I think they feel like this helps me as I get my next contract, as I solidify my spot on this roster or another roster in the NFL. These jobs are too hard to get, and you don't mess around with it. And they're saying basically that with their performance. You know, we can sit here and hope and hope and hope, but the kid may never turn out to be what we think he's going to be. And you know, it took Mayfield a couple years to get to where he is. He was the number one overall pick, and there was nothing guaranteed about him, and there's nothing guaranteed about Trevor Lawrence out of Clemson either.
All right, you convinced me. Good for them. Kevin Harlan's with us, courtesy of the Emerald Queen Casino. You mentioned the Browns, and the game with the Steelers is still on for now, but they've got all kinds of cases popping up all over the place in that organization. I know where there were some folks writing about a potential Week 17 nightmare this weekend if games get canceled that have impacts on seeding and playoff bursts, things like that. What are you hearing about how the NFL is going to handle this weekend, pal?
Well, I mean, we saw it with Denver early on when they lost their quarterback room. We saw it with Cleveland this past week when they lost a position group at wide receiver and had to call guys off the practice squad. This is the reason why teams have got expanded practice squads. This is the reason why you can put veterans on practice squads for these outbreaks. Now, it may get to the point like it was for Baltimore when they had over 20 guys earlier in the season, and they had to reschedule the game. I don't know where we stand with some of these. It changes hour by hour, and how much is revealed is sometimes like, you know, hiding your cards at a poker table. I just don't know where we're going to find a lot of accurate information here midweek. We may, as we get now toward tomorrow and Friday, certainly going to get more clarity on some of these situations. But the league, I think, has done a marvelous job in navigating themselves all the way to the final week of the regular season when there, I would say the odds that the odds makers in Vegas would have said that would happen would be 50-50 at best.
Yeah.
And probably higher odds that they would not make it, that they would have to skip a week, that they would have to maybe skip two or extend the season. So I think they feel like, can you?
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I do believe we've made it to week 17. We've not had to cancel a game.
Mm-hmm.
We've had to rearrange. It would not be good right now, certainly from an NFL standpoint, because they've got everything on track for playoffs to begin next weekend with all these different wild card scenarios. And they clearly do not want to see them have to postpone everything and push it back another week. They've got great momentum. They want to keep the momentum. And I think they will do everything in their power to make sure that this week is played. Barring losing, you know, half of your roster. And I don't see that right now, but it's only Wednesday.
You got Bills-Miami Sunday for TV, is that right?
Yes, yes.
And you'll see Josh Allen, who's been obviously phenomenal, but the MVP race is clearly a two-horse race right now between Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. How do you see this thing going down heading into Week 17?
I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised if it is a split vote and they are co-MVPs. I would not be surprised if Rodgers wins. I would be a little surprised if Mahomes wins. I think Rodgers' body of work and what he did Sunday night compared to what Mahomes did, and a lot of people are watching his game Sunday afternoon, and they struggled, and he struggled, and he has not been the same quarterback. His numbers are unbelievable. I get it. The opponents they've played have been terrific, and he's had a marvelous season, a career year for about the other 31 quarterbacks in pro football. But Rodgers' season has been remarkable, has been outstanding, has been unbelievable. Every bit as impressive as Mahomes has been, and in some ways more. So, no, that is not a foregone conclusion at all. I don't know that this weekend will play much of a factor. I think maybe the voters made up their mind last weekend with Rodgers' national performance on Sunday Night Football, but against a good Tennessee team. I don't think there is anything that is in stone right now. I think they are neck and neck.
Here's the deal, man. If you're the Seahawks and you're in the NFC playoffs, you could be going through Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and then maybe Patrick Mahomes in a Super Bowl. This is a gauntlet, man, and there is parity like never before in the NFC. This thing is wide freaking open, and that includes your beloved Packers, by the way.
I agree. You could flip a coin, and the last team in could be the first team going to Tampa. There is no doubt. I think this is going to be a very difficult stretch for all these playoff teams. These 3 weeks will be monstrous. It's going to be very, very hard to make it to the end and get there. So whoever your champion is out of the NFC, they will have earned it, because all these teams are going to go through some gauntlet, whether it's 1 week or all three. They're going to have to go through a rigorous, rigorous battle to get where they want to get. And the AFC, same to a degree. Now, it seems to be a little top-heavy for sure, but there are a lot of teams with 10 wins and maybe 11 after this weekend. Both are going to be difficult, but the parity in the NFC, I would totally agree with you, seems to be spot on, and that is going to make for a thrilling ride. Upsets in the eyes of some people as to what teams win. And we have seen the last team in, it's been Green Bay, it's been Pittsburgh, it's been the Giants. Yep. They've made it all the way to the big game, and they've won it. So I think anything is possible, sir.
I'm going to give you some numbers that you can feel free to use if you end up calling a Seahawk game in the playoffs this year.
I hope I do.
Yeah, we do too. You're old enough to remember when the Hawks were in the AFC back in the day, and they made the switch to the NFC West in 2002, 19 years ago. Since then, the Seahawks have won 9 division titles. Nobody else has won more than 4. The Seahawks have made the playoffs 13 times. Nobody else has been there more than 5, and that's San Francisco. I mean, this has been a franchise-changing decision for them to move to the NFC back in 2002. You could also marry that up with the timeline with Paul Allen buying the franchise in the late 90s. But just some thoughts from you, Kevin, on this run this franchise has been on the last 18, 20 years or so.
Well, I mean, come on. I mean, they've had quarterbacking, they've had terrific coaching, whether it was Chuck Knox or Pete Carroll. I mean, it didn't matter, right? They have had over the years, regardless of conference and era, they have had terrific players, and they have, for whatever reason, had the right chemistry. I think Allen, inherited a lot of that, if my mind serves me right. There have been a lot of things established. Back when the team became, the Seattle Seahawks, and they have just had this wonderful run. I mean, you rattled off some numbers there. Here they are, division champions again. What I thought, going in was probably the most difficult division in football. And I think really had San Francisco not faltered a little bit, that you probably would have seen even a tighter race. But as it is, here we got, one of the top 5 quarterbacks in pro football, one of the great coaches in pro football, and an organization that has had the wherewithal to every year somehow come up with the right combination of players and certainly wins. They're never a patsy. They're never a pushover. They constantly answer the bell. And, again, they did it this year, especially when, you're always talked about in the preseason publications as one of the teams to beat in that division, of the teams to beat in that conference. So, no, I mean, listen, it speaks. You said it. That's all that needs to be said. That record, that resume is as good as any team in pro football in the modern era.
Kevin Harlan with us, courtesy of the Emerald Queen Casino.
John, aside from the New England Patriots, I'm sorry.
No, exactly. I mean, and obviously they've got the titles, which the Hawks don't have, one.
Right,
but there's only been 3 teams in the last, since they joined the NFC, that have won multiple titles, and that's Pittsburgh, the Giants, and New England. And, of course, the Hawks came very close to being a 4th team to do that. But anyway, Kevin Harlan's with us, courtesy of the Emerald Queen Casino. John Gruden is 18-29 in 3 years with the Raiders. He has said many times, if he's not performing, he's not going to take the Raiders' money, and he's got 7 years left on that contract. What do you make of his future down there?
I think he's going to go 5 years at the minimum because they were right there. Their defense has just killed him, clearly. And that game against Miami showed some of the issues. And they've fired a coordinator. So, I mean, they've got a lot of it. They'll completely revamp the defense. They'll draft defense this upcoming draft. Their drafting has been good. The player procurement has been good. They've gotten good players. They have. They are a quality opponent. They are a good team. They just got, for whatever reason, their defense just failed them. And there are probably many reasons why. That is what they're going to look at this offseason. They've made too much progress in these 3 years that Gruden and Mayock have been there to wave the white flag. I think they felt even coming into this season, they were in the middle of the rebuild. It was so bad. What we don't remember sometimes is that their cap situation was just abominable when they got to Oakland and took over. And I just think that we're right in the middle of their rebuild. It was that severe. The money was that much depleted. They were just in cap hell. Now they're not. Now they've got a handle on their finances with player contracts. The quarterback, I think they feel very confident about Carr. His comebacks this year alone, I think, are, you know, whether it would be against Kansas City in a losing cause or against Miami in a losing cause. I mean, it's not the quarterback. It's clearly the defense. The defense is let up. And so I think they're in the middle of their rebuild. I think they'll draft, and I think they'll get a free agent, and I think they will be a double-digit win team next season.
Yeah. Philip Rivers has acknowledged this could be his last game with the Colts. He's 39. He's now fifth in yards, tied for fifth in touchdowns. He's never been to a Super Bowl, obviously, but if he's top five in both yards and touchdowns, I assume that you agree with me that he's in the Hall of Fame.
I think so. It's a little bit murky. I mean, he and Matt Ryan, you know, are kind of in that category. They put up gigantic numbers, and the same with Marino, but Marino was so just transcended that particular position with his arm and I mean, how he took the league by storm and what he did his rookie year and had these numbers, these astronomical numbers that quarterbacks had never reached before. And so he was almost kind of in a different category. Now all these quarterbacks throw for big numbers, touchdowns, yards. And I think because the offenses are different, certainly. And you know, Rivers benefited from that. Matt Ryan benefited from that. Matt Ryan has been to a Super Bowl, and he's been an MVP. Rivers has never been an MVP. And he has a chance with this team because you just don't know how these playoffs are going to go, perhaps to make it to a Super Bowl. But I don't know how – it's kind of like with Frank Gore, right? I don't know how you can turn your eye in your head away from numbers like that. Frank Gore is the third all-time leading rusher in pro football. The other 10 before him, the two above him, Peyton and Emmett Smith, is number one, and the guys in back of him are all in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So I just can't believe that the same would be true with the quarterbacks with those kinds of numbers, him not getting in, you know, Warren Moon. I mean, like, go right on down the line, guys with big numbers.
Yeah.
Who have gotten in. I think Rivers is in. Now, they may not be unanimous, and they may not be first ballot. I think Rivers is in. And, you know, Matt Ryan is right in back of Rivers in a lot of these categories. And, by the way, Ben Roethlisberger is in that conversation, too, in terms of now he's won Super Bowls. He's been in Super Bowls, and he's had great success. He's definitely in Canton. But the other two, I think it's going to give a moment of pause. I would say they are both in. Yeah. And I would say Rivers before Matt Ryan, even though Ryan had the one MVP season.
All right, real quick before you go, it sounds like your private jet is on the tarmac, ready to whisk you away. Give us a quick thought on Tom Brady in Tampa, Belichick in New England. You know, obviously the Brady fans will now use this as fuel for their fire. Well, this clearly shows us that Tom Brady was most important to that run. Look at what's happening in Tampa, and look at what's happening right now in New England. What do you make of what's happening with Tom Brady in Tampa, and conversely, what's happening with his old team in Foxborough?
Well, Brady is finally, and Bruce Arians, they're finally on the same page in their playbook. They have figured out how they need to operate, what Brady does best. Remember now, there was no training camp, basically. There were no preseason games. There was no offseason. It was all virtual. These little pickup things they did in high school fields, that's not like being coached and in the playbook of your team. It just isn't. It's good. I mean, it helps. It keeps you, you know, limber and ready to go, but it's not like being in camp with the rigors and all the different disciplines that are required. So I think to have the first half of the record season that they did and to finish the way they are is shocking, to be quite honest. Even as great as Brady is and the talent around him is, without all those benefits and a brand new system for the first time in his 21 years in the NFL to do what he's doing, I think is remarkable. You just don't plug guys in and have them succeed. He's going to be one of the few free agents that has left incredible success one place and gone, especially this late in his career, to another place and had almost the same kind of success. Yeah. I mean, like, it's he's writing a new chapter. Like, there has been no playbook for this. And he is writing it himself. I think it's shocking, remarkable. It's amazing. And Bill Belichick in New England had more opt-outs than almost any other team in pro football. And not just guys that were opt-outs, like important players that opted out of the season, players that were starters. And you have a complete sea change at quarterback, a guy who's nowhere even close.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Mr. Brady and Cam Newton, a different way of calling an offense. Guy has never been in that offense before, trying to get him up to speed. And he comes with his own, you know, set of question marks, leaving Carolina and just a variety of things that kind of surround him anyway. You know, again, Belichick, to win the number of games he has and to have been competitive in a season like this, yeah, with the COVID opt-outs and new quarterback and all the things that have died. Listen, I have immense respect for both, respect what they've both done. And just on this particular story, Belichick looks the worst of the two. But I don't hold him any worse than I did with Brady. I think they're both just incredible at what they do. But Brady looks good, I guarantee you. But it's taken time, and I think we judged too early on some early stumbles for him and that offense in Tampa.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, man, listen, great stuff. You have a great new year. Enjoy Buffalo-Miami Sunday. And by the time we talk next week, we're talking playoff games, matchups, the whole spiel. So stay safe, and we'll talk next year.
Thank you, buddy. Take care. Happy New Year to you and your wonderful listening audience.
See you, man. Kevin Harlan with us on the radio show. We got a break. Rob Rang, NFLDraftScout.com. We'll talk about some Huskies in the draft and where would guys like ZTF, KDOT, and Jackson Kirkland potentially have gone if they had opted to come out and leave school. We'll talk to Rob Rang next right here on a busy, busy Wednesday on 950 KG. Well, Busy Wednesday continues right here on 950 KJR. Mike Hopkins, Husky head coach, will join us at 6 p.m. top of the hour. But right now, joining us from NFLDraftScout.com. I have no shame in admitting we have stolen him from the Ian Furness Show, normally on the air with Ian on Fridays, but Friday is clearly a holiday, so I assume that Ian is off the air. But big thanks to Chambers Bay Distillery for sponsoring that shindig every Friday. Rob Rang, NFLDraftScout.com with us. Rob, how are you, pal?
I am doing very well. Happy New Year to you, Dave, and to all of our listeners, and very much thank you for having me on your program.
Yeah, no doubt, and I love having you on because I want to talk about what Washington got back on their team. You know, two nights ago, Jackson Kirkland, Kate Otten, Zion Tupuloa-Fatui, a.k.a. ZTF, Sean McGrew, bing, bing, bang, boom, all coming back in one night to UW. I thought Kate Otten was a goner for sure, but if those guys had decided to enter the NFL draft, especially Kate Otten, Zion, and Jackson Kirkland, what do you think those kids gave up, man?
Well, they gave up an opportunity to be high draft picks. There's no question about it. All three of them are legitimate NFL prospects, and so it is a testament to their love for UW, to Jimmy Lake and his recruiting, that they're coming back. I think the Husky fans should be very, very excited about this. I mean, just kind of breaking down those guys, you know, kind of one by one. Jackson Kirkland, the left tackle. I mean, his transition, just his body, he looks like a future NFL left tackle. We've seen the way that some of UW's offensive linemen have been drafted. drafted early and had success in the NFL. And I really applaud Kirkland for coming back. This is a pretty strong offensive tackle class off the end. And so for him to come back, I think is, again, a big move because he does need to get stronger in his lower body. I think he has a chance to be a, you know, a first or second round kind of a player. Cade Otton is absolute stud. But at the same time, this is, again, it's another good tight end class. And so I think that he was looking at probably being a second or third round pick. I feel very confident he's going to be at least that a year from now. He can get stronger a little bit as well, but you know, just what a terrific receiver he has. Really soft hands, and anybody who watched the Huskies come back against Utah just knows how critical that Cade Otton is to their offense. And you know, so again, several really good players, and of course Zion. I mean, just an absolute beast. I mean, just a dominant player for the Huskies all year long. You know, shortened season notwithstanding, he was spectacular when he was on the field. So I think that's all reason to be excited. And Sean McGrew is a good player. Yeah. You know, it's not a guy who gets a lot of national attention, but again, one of the reasons why I think the Huskies are going to be, you know, in the driver's seat in the Pac-12 a year from now.
How much can Zion stock, you think, Rob, if he comes out and plays, you know, 12, 13 games next year, has a double-digit sack season to kind of mirror what he did in 2020 in the four-game season? How much can his stock jump, you think, next year?
I think he could absolutely explode. You know, I mean, he's a guy that he doesn't have that elite size. I mean, he listed 6'2", 280 pounds. He looks bigger and longer than that, you know, but it's his burst. It's his power. It's the fact that he's still pretty untapped potential kind of a guy. It just looks like he's a guy whose best football is still ahead of him, still a little bit raw, still trying to kind of figure out where the ball is going at times. But at the same time, he's one of those bull in a china shop kind of guys that, you know, as his technique improves, he should just be that much more dominant. You know, I'm fortunate enough to work with the Morris Trophy Award, and he's the kind of guy that we're looking for as far as a young player who has a chance to be an absolute superstar in the future.
Rob Rang, NFLDraftScout.com, usually with Ian Furness on Fridays, courtesy of Chambers Bay Distilling. I want to ask you about a couple guys that took off early, Joe Tryon and Levi Onwuzurike. And speaking of Zion, Joe Tryon to me sounds like the kind of guy whose stock really would have jumped if he would have come back, but would have only had the four games. Where are you projecting guys like Tryon and Onwuzurike in the draft as of now?
Well, Onwuzurike is the better player at this point, in my opinion. I mean, he's another guy who's kind of built like ZTF there, in that he's 6'2", 280 pounds. He's got really long arms. He's got really heavy hands. You know, a lot of the same things that the Seahawks were excited about when they drafted L.J. Collier a couple of years ago. And so that's one of the things that I like about Onwuzurike, is that he can play outside, he can play inside, and he has the length and the power to be able to be kind of a difference maker in the inside. It doesn't have the you know, mind-boggling statistics, but when you watch the tape, he was one of those guys that really was a standout. Tryon looks like a standout. He has all the potential in the world, and had he returned and had a splashy season, I think that we could be talking about him as a possible top 50 guy. I think that he still could be that kind of a guy, because it's kind of the opposite of what I was mentioning before at the offensive tackle and tight end classes, Sofi. The defensive end edge rushers class looks pretty weak right now. And so Tryon is one of those guys who I expect to work out like a madman. And so to really have a late burst up the draft boards. So I think that he still does have a chance to be a kind of a top 75 kind of a guy, maybe even top 50, just because of the fact that he does have that untapped potential. He's got a body that the NFL scouts just drool about.
Yeah. Rob Rang, NFLDraftScout.com. Again, courtesy of Chambers Bay Distillery, is with us on the air. How about Elijah Molden, number three for UW? You know, could have come back, obviously, but decides to take off and go to the NFL. Did Elijah Molden make the right call in your mind?
I think he did. It's funny, buddy. We talked 5 minutes, 6 minutes before we got to the player who I think is the Huskies' best. I think Elijah Molden has been absolutely phenomenal his entire career. I mean, the last time I saw him in person, Softy, we were at the UW Oregon game, and, you know, at Husky Stadium, and I couldn't keep my eyes off of Molden. Obviously, you know, with his bloodlines and everything, and the track record with that family, in that rivalry, I wanted to see how he would perform, and I was just so impressed impressed by his man-to-man coverage skills, by his physical instinctive play, his open field tackling. I think that he is one of the very few defensive backs in this class that can play corner, he can play safety, he can play just about anywhere that you want him to go. I mentioned Jimmy Lake by name earlier. I'm going to mention him again. He is just building up one of the elite secondaries in all of college football. Obviously, you're losing a superstar in Mold, and the guy who I think is a slam dunk top 50 guy. I think he should go in the first round. I think he's the best corner in football. But at the same time, people are going to, you know, they might knock him because he's an inch shorter than they'd like or this or that. To me, he is one of those guys, just like Buda Baker, just like Taylor Rapp. He is one of the most reliable open field tacklers in the game, and he also has the quickness and the speed that you're looking for at the cornerback position. To me, again, I think he's one of the safer players in the draft. Should be a first round pick. If he is not, somebody's going to get a steal in the second round.
It's not very often, Rob, that we have a matchup in the final four of two teams that could be top 10 draft picks at quarterback. We got Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence going at it on Saturday in the semifinal, man. What do you make of the prospects that we'll see in the final four? And should Jet fans really be as crestfallen as they are about losing the rights to Trevor Lawrence, man?
Well, they probably should be, because Trevor Lawrence is an unbelievable talent. I'm a little bit higher on Sam Darnold than a lot of people seem to be. I think that there's more about Adam Gase than it is about Sam Darnold. But Trevor Lawrence is an absolute phenomenal talent. He is going to be the number one overall pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars, barring any type of crazy, crazy trade up when the Jaguars giving away that selection. But just a phenomenal talent. And then Justin Fields is a pretty spectacular player as well. And his statistics can be a little bit inflated. There are times where he really struggles in just making fairly simple throws, but his raw talent is unbelievable. He's got the arm strength. He's got the mobility. He's almost Tim Tebow-like at times with his willingness to kind of lower his shoulder into linebackers. And so you'd like to see a little bit more improvement as a pure pocket passer. But at the same time, of course, we're seeing in the NFL, these dual threat quarterbacks are just taking over the league. Yeah. So I think that we are talking about two top 10 kind of guys. And that is just a fun matchup. Of course, anybody who remembers last year knows that Clemson and Ohio State were playing for a chance for the national title a year ago, and Ohio State was winning that game before some kind of questionable penalties that put Clemson back in control. So this is, in a way, a rivalry game. So I'm excited to see what happens. Excited to see what happens not only in that one, but in the Rose Bowl, of course, and to see who winds up playing national championship. I'll just answer the question before I even go there. I think it's going to be Alabama yet again. Roll Tide.
No, I agree with that. And by the way, I know you're not a betting man, but if you were, take the Tide and give the 19 against Notre Dame. They're going to hammer those guys. All right, Rob, awesome stuff, man. Appreciate this. Love what you do for the radio station. Have a great new year, and we'll talk down the road, buddy. Thank you, pal.
You as well, Sophie. Thanks, man.
You bet. Rob Rang, who again normally joins Ian on Fridays from NFLDraftScout.com, courtesy of Chambers Bay Distillery. We'll get a break, talk some Husky basketball. Here we go. Mike Hopkins, head coach of the Dogs, joining us next right here.
Now, from the Star Rental Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls, headlines on a Wednesday night, 6 p.m. right here on Softy and Dick Without Dick. Headlines, of course, are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
So it's kind of a fun challenge now. We love it.
Seahawks today announcing that tight end Luke Wilson is back, as well as linebacker Ray Armstrong, both signed to the Seahawks practice squad today. Rams and Cardinals on Sunday. Arizona quarterback Kyler Murray saying he will play Sunday. Murray dealing with a leg injury he suffered in last week's loss to the 49ers. Baseball, the Padres, one day after acquiring pitcher Blake Snell from Tampa, yesterday trading for Yu Darvish from the Cubs. And NCAA football bowl game action today. It's a final from the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Wisconsin knocking off Wake Forest 42-28. All right, joining us right now on the radio show, the head coach of your Washington Huskies, 1-6, looking to turn things around against Arizona tomorrow. 5 o'clock tip off, 4:30 pregame right here on KJR. The head coach of the Dogs, Mike Hopkins, is with us. Mike, happy holidays. How are you?
Happy holidays to you, Sophie. How are you doing, bud?
We are doing okay. Let's talk about the way 2020 and 21 has gone so far for your basketball team. Take us behind the scenes and talk about what life has been like for Mike Hopkins and the Dogs the first month or so.
Well, 2020 has been, is obviously difficult for so many people. And we got so much, so many things to be blessed for and grateful for. But you know, for you know, the team, you know, we it was kind of like the year that you knew you were going to lose games and find games and just a lot of different variables, environmental issues. And we lost our little Husky Classic and decided to go to Vegas and play. And, you know, just, you know, we got some games in, haven't obviously played well, learned a lot about our team. And we're just trying to find our right footing and getting in the right, you know, rowing in the right direction. And it's been difficult, but the kids have stayed positive. The coaches have done a great job getting these guys better. And, you know, we're moving forward, bottom line.
Well, Mike, you mentioned the team not playing well, and I guess the million-dollar question is why? Why have they not played well in your mind?
Well, I think a big thing is you know, it just looks, you know, when I say chemistry, there's connection, right? You've got to be able to trust your teammates around you, and then when you get down or you struggle a little bit, guys maybe try to do too much, and we got to trust each other. And I think that's one of the things that's really big moving forward. We've got some really good players.
Yeah.
And we've just, you know, we've got to trust each other, and then we got to play free. You know, you can't play tense. You can't play tight. If you get an open shot, you got to knock it down, and, you got to be aggressive. But most importantly, we can't let bad offense or missed shots or missed foul shots impact our defense.
Mm.
Our defense is what has to be good. And at the start of the Colorado game, it was too easy for them to score. And, that's where we got to hang our hat. We have hung our hat, and that's where we got to just be really consistent.
Yeah. Well, Mike Hopkins again is with us, and obviously the Naz Carter situation was disappointing for everybody involved. How much of a, I guess for lack of a better term, shockwave did that send through your locker room and kind of throw a big wrench in your plans for this year when that happened?
Well, I just think, you know, obviously when you lose a high quality, you know, talented player, it's always difficult, but you know, you just got to have the next man up mentality. And it happened. We've got to move forward. We got to figure out how we can win with our guys. New guys have to step up, have to be more efficient, and give somebody else an opportunity. But there's been so many different challenges. That's one of them. There's, you know, so many others. But, you know, I'm really proud of our staff and our players of just staying positive, control what we can control, and that's how we get better every day. And this break has been really good for us. We needed it definitely.
Yeah, well, you know as well as I that basketball in a lot of ways, Mike, is a game of matchups, and Riley Sorn is a matchup problem for a lot of teams around the country.
Sure.
7'4", 270, for God's sakes, and I think he's got more athleticism and better hands than maybe even I thought heading into the year. Is it possible that we could start to see a lot more of this kid as the year goes by?
Yeah, his thing is just going to be his stamina, but he is getting better. I mean, even when we started playing him, he just showed so much improvement and quick twitch and moving so much better. And our strength and conditioning staff has done a great job with him since he got into our program. And he's just, like I said, when he's moving well, he's a mother defensively. He's tough. And then on the defensive end, when he's moving, he's just, you know, it's a different shot when you're shooting over 7'4" with a, you know, 9-foot wingspan or whatever it is, 9'5", 9'4". You know, and so I'm really happy about his improvement where he's playing for us right now.
Yeah, well, it looks to me, when you say stamina, what I hear you say is you're referencing the pace of this game compared to what he was used to in high school. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and getting up and down the court. You know, teams that will, you know, they'll try to run him, try to beat him down, but he's done a really good job. And so when and also what I'm saying is, you know, he can go great for 3 to 5 minutes and get him out. You got to get him back in. But,
right,
you know, where he can play at a high pace, high level, and be really effective.
Mike Hopkins with us. Dogs in Arizona tomorrow, 5 o'clock here on KJR. You mentioned the break. This will be an 11-day break when it's all said and done for you guys. What have you been doing, and what have the last 11 days been all about for your kids?
Well, we had, you know, we had a practice after the Colorado game and just try to show them, you know, where we had to improve and where we had to get better. Then we gave them some days off. They came back on the 26th and had a little team event. You know, they played a wiffle ball game. And, you know, just kind of be happy, have fun. It's very hard to do team building stuff during this time, and we haven't done any at all. And for them to have masks on and have social distancing, but be able to go into the gym and play a game of wiffle ball and laugh and just be together was pretty cool,
yeah,
to say the least. And then we got back on track, and We've had three practices, and the guys have been upbeat. They've had a good positive energy. They've worked exceptionally hard. They're prepared for this game. And, you know, now hopefully we can go out there, be consistent, play together, and hopefully come out with a win.
Yeah, you and I talked, and Dick and Mike, we would talk a lot last year about your offensive philosophy, which was usually, hey, let's try to find a way to get the ball to Isaiah Stewart or Jaden McDaniels. Sure. You don't have a guy like that right now on your basketball team. So talk about what your offensive philosophy kind of looks like and feels like.
Well, it's a little bit differently. I think the biggest thing is we've got to kind of dictate, you know, who we can get the ball to. You know, we started playing Nate Pryor so we could play Quad A off the ball because of his ability to score and you know, bring two people to him so he can make the extra pass. We haven't, I felt like we've been getting decent 3-point shots. We just haven't been shooting at a high clip. But for the most part, it's a different team. You know, we've got to be able to, you know, try to run some pin downs, some screenaways where we can execute better, where we can get our guys that we need to get shots, get them high percentage shots. And, that's been the biggest struggle, for us moving forward, especially offensively.
The thing I remember the most about the Colorado game and even the games before that is that we saw a little bit of a glimpse of what this thing could look like with Nate Pryor and Quade Green playing a lot together. Obviously, you're limited in some ways when you do that, but does that sound like something that you want to continue to investigate with both those guys out there a lot?
Well, we do, Soft. I mean, we're looking for answers. And the big thing was, is Nate's been – Pryor's been exceptional. He is a great player. My biggest thing in that game is you know, both Quade and him are point guards, and they shot 31 shots. You know, I would like to see, I'd like to see each one of them get, you know, 10 to 12 shots and then get 7 or 8 assists.
Yeah.
And that's where we have to trust our teammates. You know, that's where we've got to be able to, you know, we've got good shooters, but when you're playing together, when the ball's moving, it seems like you shoot better. Yeah. It just does. And so there's that chemistry again, right? Moving the ball, setting better screens. We have to execute better. Those are things that we've been working on. Hopefully they carry over. And but there's been a lot of positive signs for sure.
Yeah, you know, when you look at this thing overall, and I'm talking about not just on the court but off the court, recruiting wise, the atmosphere around the program. Give us a take on kind of what you're feeling, what you're seeing when it comes to where this thing is heading in recruiting and the atmosphere around the program off the court as well.
Well, I think it's positive. I think the bottom line is, you know, in the last, you know, 3 years, we put four guys in the NBA. That's where the kids want to play. That's where they want to go. We have a good system that's been proven. Now it just goes back to, we got to get better in that system. And, you know, we got a great Jackson Grant is, you know, a top 50 player from Olympia, is a great player. We're excited to have him. There could be another addition that we've been working on, but I like our guys. I mean, the bottom line is we've got to get better, and we got to get better individually. You got to get better collectively. But I feel good about our team. I feel good about the direction of the program. We've had a couple hits the last couple years that have set us back, but for the most part, the fundamental, you know, systematic culture, those things are intact, ready to move forward.
Yeah, Mike, I'll be honest with you. I thought, and maybe it's too early for this, and maybe we will see this develop as the year goes by. I thought you'd be getting more out of Stevenson and Bajima than what you've had so far. Are you surprised by that? And do you see that maybe popping fairly soon?
I think they're really really good players. You know, you saw glimpses, obviously, Raekwon Battle, his ability. Now the key is consistency, and I felt with the newer kids, even Jerron Brooks, it's really hard to not have the type of preseason that you're normally used to having, where you're what, you know, a couple exhibition games, you see what you got, and you know, I kind of I scheduled, I made a couple mistakes in the scheduling, I feel, I, you know, not knowing, engaging correctly where our guys were, and so, you know, that's a big part of it, and so. You know, that's the rhythm. That's playing in games rather than playing against each other every day. And so, you know, those are things that I've learned, some things that we've got to get better at. But they're very good players. They're great kids. They've had great attitudes. They've moved forward and just need, you know, obviously to keep learning the system better.
Yeah, well, you know that I've been doing this for a long time, so I got to follow up on that comment you made there when you said there were mistakes that were made in scheduling. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest thing, Softy, is, you know, like, listen, you know, we lost the Husky Classic, and not knowing and not playing in exhibition games, I felt like we had to, you know, go play, and we probably, you know, going to play Baylor was probably biting off a little bit more than we could chew. And then, you know, I thought that was, you know, I was just trying to get them a game. You know, I wanted to get them to field. We've been practicing against each other. We did exhibition games. And what a great challenge. And sometimes those things can raise your confidence, and sometimes they can help you lose your confidence. And, you know, those are all things that you're learning, especially with a new team. So a lot of great learning lessons, but excited moving forward, excited to get into practice and just keep getting better every day. That's been our philosophy, and that's all we can do right now.
Well, and you got an opportunity tomorrow against Arizona. This is kind of kind of a wounded animal. I mean, they just told their players that they can't go to the tournament, right, because of all the issues down there in Tucson. So you got no idea how motivated, not motivated they'll be. But for some reason, you play these guys tight. I think the last five games, all of them have been decided by 7 points or less. And heck, you've won, I think, three of the last four against Arizona. Yeah. What is it about that system that always turns into a great battle between the Huskies and Arizona?
Well, I think they've been kind of the creme de la creme in the league, and for years. I know since I've been watching the Pac-12, and great program, great tradition, great coach, great players, and that's what you want to play against. And so we're really excited to get this opportunity to be able to go and play against the best. They're playing at a high level right now. We've struggled, but we've gotten better and excited for this opportunity. And I just think systematically, you know, guys have that incredible energy to compete against the best, bottom line.
Wrap up 2020 with a win tomorrow against Arizona. Go get them, and we'll talk down the road, Coach. Thank you for doing this.
Let's go, Softy. Let's go.
Appreciate it, man. Mike Hopkins with us. We'll get a break. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, NFL on NBC. We'll join the radio show next on KJR. Stick around.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.